This is an alert to USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, October 25th, 2014. This week in security news, starting first with Ebola. On multiple occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding the latest developments with the spread of the virus, new U.S. government efforts to implement additional protective measures at ports of entry, and an announcement of the first confirmed Ebola diagnosis in New York City. On Thursday afternoon, Alert USA subscribers were some of the first in the nation to learn of a possible Ebola case in New York following an announcement by health authorities that a patient was being treated at Bellevue Hospital who met the formal symptom and travel profile, including fever and gastrointestinal issues, as well as recent travel from an affected nation. According to the early announcement by the New York Department of Health, disease detectives immediately began contact tracing in an effort to identify anyone who may be at potential risk. While health authorities declined to say how many people may have come into contact with Dr. Craig Spencer, who had returned from the West African nation of Guinea 10 days prior, on Wednesday alone, he is reported to have used at least one taxi, one train, visited a bowling alley, a restaurant, and jogged several miles. His subway ride is reported to have occurred just hours before his diagnosis. Listeners should note that the Centers for Disease Control announced that Dr. Spencer had successfully passed through multiple layers of screening and did not have a fever or other symptoms of illness when he arrived at JFK Airport from Brussels. While the doctor did ultimately contact authorities once symptoms began to manifest, he is the latest clear example of how easy it is for the virus to be transported via airline travel to the United States and how the current multi-layer approach of exit and entry screening of airline passengers only catches the low-hanging fruit. According to the latest information from the CDC, the average time between exposure and the onset of symptoms is 8 to 10 days. This raises an interesting question. Was the doctor's travel back to the U.S. at this time because he was aware that he had had a critical exposure incident, or is it merely a coincidence that he happened to get sick after traveling on an itinerary set weeks or months prior? Late Friday, the governors of New York and New Jersey announced their respective states will automatically quarantine for 21 days all returning medical workers or anyone else who has had direct contact with infected individuals in Ebola-hit West African countries. According to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, it's too serious a situation to leave it to the honor system of compliance. Listeners are cautioned with all seriousness that regardless of what elected officials and public health figureheads say to downplay the threat of Ebola here in America, the world's top research scientists dealing with Ebola tell a different story. Just last week, one of the world's top authorities on Ebola, Dr. Peter Jarling, chief scientist of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, stated that he believes the current Ebola outbreak may be caused by an infection that spreads more easily than it did before. Dr. Jarling explained that his research team working in Monrovia, Liberia, is seeing viral loads in Ebola patients much higher than they are used to seeing, and that it may be that the infection spreads more easily. Quote, I have a field team in Monrovia. They are running tests. They are telling me that viral loads are coming up very quickly and are really high, higher than they are used to seeing. It may be that the virus burns hotter and quicker. If this is a case, then we are dealing with a very different bug. Unquote. Just 2 weeks ago, Michael Osterholm, the head of CIDRAP, the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, who himself is a prominent public health scientist and a nationally recognized biosecurity expert, delivered a presentation at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health during which he revealed one of the world's preeminent Ebola researchers has found that the current strain of Ebola appears to be much worse than any strain seen before. The following is a clip from Dr. Osterholm's presentation.
Today I've been given permission, something I've known about for a few weeks. When I wrote the piece, I knew about this, and it's concerned me greatly. Gary Kobinger and colleagues at Winnipeg, the Canadian National Lab, actually took one of the strains from Guinea and put it into macaques a little over a month and a half ago. What they saw was remarkable. It was unlike any of the Ebola viruses they've seen in monkeys. It was much, much more severe. The pathology in the lungs was remarkable. And as Gary said, who was one of the most prominent Ebola virologist in the world, said, it is very worrisome to me about what I saw there.
This is just a small portion of a sobering 20-minute presentation on this outbreak. You can find the full video in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. These are just two examples of the numerous top Ebola researchers directly contradicting definitive statements made by elected officials and public health figureheads. In related news, it was also reported this week that the West African nation of Mali has now registered its first case of Ebola, marking the sixth country in the region to be affected by the virus. Mali and Ivory Coast are considered at highest risk as each shares a common border with other more seriously affected countries in the region. Here again, listeners are urged to think long and hard about this week's events, as Alerts USA has been warning in these weekly updates for months. Given that standard flu symptoms such as fever, vomiting, sore throat, coughs, muscle aches, fatigue, and headaches are also early symptoms of an Ebola infection, hospitals and clinics across the U.S. are in scramble mode with each and every individual who presents with these symptoms, and flu season is just getting started. Additionally, as the number of confirmed Ebola cases increases, so too does the number of individuals being exposed who have absolutely no travel history whatsoever to West Africa. As we have previously warned, very soon the question, "Have you been to West Africa recently?" will probably not mean much. Keep the following points in mind. 1. Ebola case numbers are increasing exponentially across West Africa, and the spread to other regions of the world is already happening. 2. We remind listeners that in late August, the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General issued a report specifically stating that DHS is ill-prepared for combating a national pandemic. 3. A majority of hospitals and clinics across North America, as well as most healthcare workers from doctors to nurses to techs and lab personnel and other support staff, are themselves not prepared to handle patients possibly infected with biosafety level 4 pathogens. We suggest doing what you can to boost your immune system, including consideration of an annual flu and pneumonia vaccine, so as to minimize your chances of having to go anywhere near a medical facility in the first place. Alerts USA again cautions listeners that it is imperative that you and your families set aside time to have a focused discussion on how you will respond if or when Ebola cases begin appearing in your local area. To help you along with this process, Alerts USA has established a comprehensive Ebola information site containing a list of baseline preparedness considerations, links to peer-reviewed scientific papers covering relevant facts about the virus, and an up-to-date list of all of the U.S. and World Health Organization guidance documents for dealing with the virus in different settings. We encourage you to visit EbolaReady.com to bulk up on your knowledge. You can find much more in this story, including links to the high points made in this report, links to specific quotes referenced, links to the video mentioned earlier, as well as links to the preparedness resources in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. As always, Alerts USA continues to closely monitor developments with the spread of this virus and will immediately notify service subscribers of major changes in its spread to different regions, reports of confirmed cases and potential exposures in school systems, important notices and warnings by government agencies, or any other major changes in the overall threat environment as events warrant. In travel security news, listeners are reminded that in addition to a new worldwide caution issued by the U.S. State Department 2 weeks ago, as of October 22nd, the Department of Homeland Security requires that all persons traveling to the United States from the West African nations of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea must now enter the U.S. through either New York's Kennedy, Newark's Liberty, Washington Dulles, Chicago O'Hare, or Atlanta Hartsfield airports and undergo Ebola virus disease screening. Passengers traveling from these countries who are not scheduled to pass through one of these airports must rebook their flights in order to accommodate this new directive. Also this week, the U.S. State Department has issued an updated travel alert for the Russian Federation, bringing to 40 the number of locations around the world specifically identified by the U.S. government as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. If you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, now more than ever, be smart about it and regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alerts USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, October 25th, 2014.